And you are now entering the Big Daddy's podcast.
Jackson, you said you're expecting a baby in January. I'm expecting one in February.
Let's go! Welcome to the club, bro.
Come on.
It's the best club. Best club
is that,
ever.
Is that how we're going to kick it off right there?
Man, we've been recording for 20 minutes while you're eating a salad.
So, shoot. Okay. Anyways, everybody, welcome to Big Daddies. We have our wonderful guest here, Austin Pereira. Welcome.
Man, Austin, so much favor in our life right now. We have you as a guest. And Jacob, did you know that we were going to get this announcement, or is this a surprise to you?
No, I knew. And you were on to it when you called me, like, why does Austin want to be in the podcast? What did I tell you?
I go, does Austin have any kids? And
you said no. I don't know what you said.
Well, you do now, buddy. Come on.
Well, not yet, but it's kind of
no, you are a father in the second, man. It's a real thing, dude. Man, you haven't had to father him yet. So far, you're done. Yeah, or her. Maybe I'm prophesying over you right now. Maybe it's son.
Some people have already. So, and it has been the majority him.
Okay.
It's
okay.
It's a boy.
Yeah. It's funny how that's the gut reaction.
Yeah, man.
We'll oh see. Man, congratulations. It's the coolest thing.
I appreciate that.
And to think you couldn't get any more handsome, but I digress.
I know. It's gonna look so good on you, bro.
Yeah, already does. Anyway.
Yeah, it's weird. Jake, you're probably bummed at me for saying this, but he actually hid your profile on Hannah's Instagram just because you're insecure, Jacob. You know, like you don't want pictures of Austin like showing up in Hannah's feed.
Yeah.
Remember you said not to say anything. You're like, I haven't been working out as much, I've been busy. Right? Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, like when we have a call with Devon and Nathaniel's like, Devon, we have wives. You can't be looking like that on Instagram.
Yeah. Devon's our friend.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
Yeah, our one friend that's just like tall, succulent, dark chocolate man. Mm. And the wives walk by and just we gotta cover their eyes. So anyway, Austin, did you get a chance to read over those questions we sent you?
Yeah, I looked over them quickly. Those are some hard hitters, so if you ask him, I'll probably still take my time thinking. What's his name? Neil, the rad dad.
Yeah, Neil Spurlock.
Yeah, my man pondered, so I might take a page out of his book.
Hey, let's go. Good reference with the ponder reference. Out of boy.
I'm up to date, fellas.
Good
I'm up
job.
To date.
Dang, we're honored. So honored. Well, let's dive into it, Jackson. Let's get
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Are we gonna ping pong this thing? Jacob, I'm going to ride your coattails on this episode, man. So you trailblaze and I'm going to chime in as needed. And we'll ping pong in a little bit. Okay.
All right. Love it. Well, I know Austin's dad pretty well, so let's just dive into that one. Like what did your dad do best? Because you and I, we've known each other since how long have you and Nicholas been friends?
We've been best friends since kindergarten.
Okay. So I've known Austin since I was like 3 or 4, but I wouldn't say Austin and I became closer friends until, end of high school, college, probably. Yeah. So tell us about your dad. What did he do best? Cause I didn't know you well, like growing up as much.
Yeah. Gosh, I mean, man, I'm so blessed by my dad. He did an incredible job. He did a lot of awesome things, but so when I was listening to the podcast before we even talked about me being on it, I remember like just hearing your guests and thinking like, man, how would I answer that question and things like that. Because I think a lot of times I can go through life and just be like, yeah, I had a great dad and not really like think in depth into it or think specifically. And so, man, I think what my dad did really, really well is he was always present and he always made sure that I knew that he was proud of me.
That's rad.
And so what I kind of mean by that is he was present throughout everything. but he also made sure that he took care of the other end as far as like financially providing and things like that. So like, I remember many, many times him showing up to my baseball games as a kid in Little League. And he was always my coach, but him showing up like in his work truck and his work clothes. And like, he would be there like, man, hopefully FPL doesn't listen to this, but he was probably on the clock in the dugout coaching third base or whatever. But he was always at my games. And he was always at school functions. He was always at anything and everything he could be. And I remember just listening to him, my mom talk, whether it be over the weekends and we'd have tournaments and things like, all right, how are we going to split up to make sure that we can watch them both? Or how are we going to organize this to make sure we can watch them both? And so he was always present. I never missed him in a good way. And then also he always made sure I was proud of him, or he was proud of me. Cause I remember that was something that, he would talk about like with his dad, he didn't often feel that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, that was something that he really wanted to make sure he instilled in us that he was proud of us. And he didn't just say it, he spoke it and he meant it and he showed it. And so I always knew that like I had affirmation from him. And it wasn't something that I felt I needed to earn. He was not only, I'm proud of you when you do good in a game, I'm proud of you when you make a good grade. It's just, I just want you to know I'm proud of you because you're my son. I'm proud of you because I love you. I'm proud of you because of whatever, because of nothing, you know, like, just, yeah. I mean, we can turn that into a sermon, but
yeah,
no, that's super
yeah.
cool,
man. That's really, really special, man, because, you know, we have interviewed a handful of dads and you are a dad now, man, you know, your baby's not here. Sir. You're a dad right now. And so I heard like classic Pastor Jackson move. I heard like three, like the same, three P words in there. I heard proud. I heard he was present and that he provided for you as well.
Ooh, it's good.
And what we hear from many of the dads we interview, however, is we got the providing part a lot. I think yep. all our dads kind of were like, yeah, our dad was a good provider. And he maybe not always present, but what they all agreed on, I would say, man, maybe every interview, Jacob, pretty much said, I don't feel like my dad knew me.
Yeah.
So I do feel like maybe, man, that's something different that your dad did do well is, did you feel like known by your dad?
Yeah, no, I definitely did. And I think it helped. And maybe it was because I molded to him or he molded to me in the sense of like, we shared a bond with a lot of the same interests. I mean, mainly being baseball and then sports and things like that. And so, I mean, that took up a lot of my childhood. I mean, good, bad, or indifferent, baseball was a lot of my childhood, and he loved the game. I loved the game. And so we spent a lot of time together. And yeah, no, I definitely felt known.
Yeah.
Definitely in that aspect.
That's definitely something that's kind of what was sticking out to me was like, which I think probably makes a huge difference is what do you and your dad have in common? And like you said, baseball, I always knew that was something you two were just like thick and thin. It was baseball, like, peas and yep. carrots, Forrest Gump style, you know? So that's cool to hear it verbalized. And I do think that's a huge thing. Cause I think me growing up, Zach, my oldest brother, him and my dad were so close because they were all into hunting, which I couldn't give a rip about that when I was a little kid. But now growing up, I've like enjoyed hunting more in the art of it and the sport of it. And so my dad and I bond now more over that than we may have growing up.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, dude, you just were a really good cheerleader for your dad just then. So it's good. Good honor. But this is a difficult question and not aimed at trashing our fathers, you know, because I think, man, with every dad I've known so far in this show is they're doing the best with what they have been given. But when we evaluate things, I think there's always good things to learn from as well. Right. So what do you feel like you wish your dad did differently?
Man, I saw that question on there. I knew it would definitely be a tough answer because, and as cliche as it sounds, I like the way it's worded. What could have been done differently? Because I don't think that my dad did anything poorly or he did anything bad or anything negative. And so, as I answer that question, I think, and honestly, what comes to my mind is it's a little bit selfish of me when I kind of dissect it a little bit. I wish he would have formally taken time to teach me quote unquote manly things or what it means to be a man. And I think it's selfish because I think it's almost in like a worldly perspective and the like sense of like, hey, how to use all these different tools, or how to fix this, or how to do that, or handyman things, or things that like I feel that I should be able to do as a man. But I know like biblically those things aren't what defines a man. But I think a lot of times the season of our life kind of dictates where our mind's at and what we focus on. And so with the season of life I'm in right now, like being a relatively new homeowner and being a relatively new husband and being on my own, like away from family. And I think a lot of the things that I go through daily, weekly, monthly are quote unquote adult things. And so like, I got a leak in my sink, or I got to fix something on my truck, or I got to fix something on the house or in the backyard or things like that. And so those things are continuing to pile up. And I think it's exposing things that I realized that I hadn't learned. And now I'm extremely grateful and thankful because my dad knows all of those things. And I think that's why I become like a little bit selfish. Like, man, I wish I would have known those. I wish you would have taught me those. But he is still so readily available to me that like a FaceTime, a phone call, he is so eager to teach me those things, and he'll verbalize it just as much as I will. Cause he says, man, I wish I would have taught you those things before now, or when you were a kid. And I know as a kid, I was resistant because I was pretty lazy in the sense of like, if my dad was like, hey, let me come show you how to change oil on the truck, I'd be like, no, it's hot outside, or I'd rather play a video game, or things like that. And so, man, I wish I would have gotten a little bit more of that, like, formal things about, I don't know. And again, I think it's fleshly and I think it's selfish, but I wish I knew how to do those things because I would feel like more of a provider and a protector for my family, being able to know those skills and not have to outsource them, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a really good answer, man. It's a really good answer. Very practical. That's, like, really clear, I think, for a dad to – or a dad to be, even to like, all right, that's a good thing to learn and know. Jacob, you were telling me about a book, and I think it had the word kingdom or king in it.
Yeah, it's funny. I was literally about to reference that. Austin.
Yeah, throw down what you know about that, because I think we're thinking of the same thing.
No, we are. And you know what's funny is, bye.
Sorry, throw down the point, bro.
Oh, there it is. He's getting it. Yes.
Let's go. So, that's it. Okay.
Austin's the one that started that. So Austin.
Oh, let's go. I know. I'm connecting the dots over here on my own.
Yes. So Austin, probably this time last year, actually, I think it was like September, October, he reached out to a couple of us guys and was like, because Austin's super intentional about this, which I always appreciate. And he said, oh, we should read a book together. And like, we'll Zoom every, I don't know, like month or two, and we'll talk about it. And becoming a king, there's a part in it. I'll also jump in if I butcher this, but Morgan Snyder, the author, talks about like having, like, obviously being a king over your domain, but talking about like you shouldn't outsource things. Like you should be the leader and in the forefront of like learning how to fix your oil, or like change your oil, or fix a leaking sink. And there's a guy he references in it that's like a famous Pulitzer Prize winning writer, and the guy says like, my dad's proud of me and all these things I've done, but I'm just sad because I can't fix anything. And I never learned that from him growing up. Like, Austin, jump in. Did I miss anything on that one?
No, that's really good. And I mean, I think the book does a good job of contrasting like things that like as Christian men in the world, how we should be able to handle and provide for ourselves, but not taking it into like a worldly pursuit type thing. Because I think, have you ever read the book Wild at Heart?
Love it.
John Eldridge.
Most of it, yeah.
It's very similar to that. Like almost like he goes through like, for lack of better terms, like a rites of passage as like becoming a man and things like that.
Sure.
And being able to like be out in the wilderness and embrace what makes us men, and like God made us different than women and things like that. But yeah, he talks a lot about like things that like maybe in a worldly sense that helps bring that out of us, like that God, that deeply rooted sense of a man that God has instilled in us, and like how things that we can practice and do helps kind of illuminate that.
It's convicting for me because Hannah is so much more handy than I am. And so she, like today, for example, while Callahan was sleeping and I was at work, granted, she re-caulked our shower because it was kind of moldy. And so she like dug it all out, all the old caulking, and re-caulked today. And I was like, all right, dang, like,
that's,
I'm a bum. Yeah, so I'm very thankful because I hate doing stuff like that, but that book convicted me. And then also having a wife that's really handy Hannah. So
yeah. Well, I went and saw him speak, and I've never read the
John
book.
Eldridge.
Your fella from becoming a king.
Oh, Morgan Snyder.
Yeah, and he did do an interesting job explaining how the average man, his tool set consists of maybe a black tool set, and it'll have pink accents, because that's a common tool set that a father will give his daughter when she's going off to college. And that's like the primary tool set of a man, right? And then he goes on to say further, like, this was in the live thing. I don't know if he went there with Becoming a King, but he went on to like show how in the IKEA building instructions, it's pretty much a man who's been emasculated ultimately.
He talked about that in the book.
Really? Okay. Yeah. It's just, so it is interesting. I do think that, man, so why did he say there's a win in us being able to do that as men? What was his point? Like, what's the, like, I understand it's valuable, but like, what was his purpose of saying this? We ought to be able to do this.
I'm blanking hard right now.
Yeah.
I know. I'm digging deep into the,
that's why you guys read forever. It's somewhat selfish and worldly of me to like desire those things. I don't know. Like, cause just like, me, I don't know if it's the testosterone that flows within us or whatever, but like if stuff starts to hit the fan, like I want to be like, I got this.
Yeah,
you know, and like,
yeah,
like I feel like a protector and a provider and things that are biblical. But I don't know. I feel like when Liz and I got married and I became a husband, I feel like those things became very like forefront in my mind.
Because,
yeah, like I wanted her to feel safe, or I wanted her to feel taken care of or protected, and that I could do that for her, and it didn't need to be outsourced and things
wow.
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if that's what he meant by it. I don't know if that's good, but that's kind of how I feel.
No, well, I love it so much. Yeah, you go, Jacob.
I was gonna say, it just means too. Everyone should read the book then. So that's a little plug right there. We're not paid for this,
hey,
but maybe check it out.
But we might be soon.
Oh, come on.
So. One of the worst fights me and Brianna ever got in is before one of the hurricanes, I can't remember which one, we shot up to a show in Jacksonville to go see the band Paramore. And a hurricane was coming. We have a generator and stuff. And Brianna is very meticulous, kind of OCD about stuff, you know, where I'm the guy that just wings it, which can be a horrible combination of things, right? So she low-key apparently didn't trust me to be able to run the generator safely if power goes out. And she went and posted on Facebook, like, hey, like, what are some safety tips for running a generator? And some of my homies hopped on there and were dogging on me. Because that is like, there's a lot I can't do. I know how to do a stinking generator, you know what I'm saying, of all things, and do it safely. And I remember we were at this concert. Like, it's tradition anytime this band comes down, her and I go. And like, I somehow saw it in between bands or something like that and copped an attitude the rest of the night. So even to y'all's point, like, there have been times where I want to be that guy. And then because of the way I've carried myself over time, she doesn't even trust me to be that guy. She's like, I'm not even asking. I'm just going straight to Facebook universe, to like the metaverse, to find out what's going on here. And I remember chewing her out, like, you know how humiliating that is? You posting this on the internet? And just like, I don't, it was tough. It was tough. So I was a huge tool to her about it. No pun intended at all. But yeah, I think that I certainly agree. I was such a jerk to my dad about not learning stuff from him, specifically working on cars and those things that are truly valuable to me now. So really neat and practical point, Austin. Really cool. Really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. The next question I was going to ask, and I was like, well, you're not a dad yet. So like, how am I supposed to ask this? But what are you most excited about being a dad? Like, previously it was like, what's your favorite thing about being a dad? But I guess, what are you looking forward to most? Or yeah, honestly, expand on it however you want.
Man, there's been so many things that we've thought about with Elizabeth being pregnant. And like, I haven't even given that much thought. I think once we find out the gender, I think I'll be like, okay, I'm excited for the relationship between son and father or daughter and dad or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm excited. I think really early on in life, I'm excited to see just joy, like them just experiencing this beautiful world that we have. Like, I don't know, because I mean, there's nothing more contagious than like a little baby's laugh or something like that, and then just full of joy. And so I think, I don't know, just being able to see that and see like joy in my child, and be there to be a part of it or witness it or whatever. I'm really excited for that. Obviously, yeah, I mean, you have the big benchmarks of first steps and first words and things like that. But when a child that Elizabeth and I have created comes into this world and you see that it like is happy about it and it enjoys nature, God's creation, and it's just like the most innocent, pure joy that we'll probably ever see.
Yeah, so
I'm pretty excited about that.
No, it's super cool. Like when Cal, if he's being grumpy or mad, if you take him outside, he just like, boop, chills out. And I think it's like you're saying, like the nature and then the joy of it all and getting to experience new things. It's just like, honestly, if he's crying, he's freaking out, it just calms him down immediately. Like yeah, probably 99% of the time.
I saw this post. So our friends here, man, I don't know if there's something in the water, but our friends have been popping out babies like crazy. So we're kind of just hopping on the train. But one of our friends had a baby and they posted something on Instagram, and I think they just shared it, but it was really cool because it was talking about, and I think there's merit in these things, but they were talking about like how little babies, like you want to make sure like the developmental thing, like they have the textures and the sounds and the colors and the right stimulations, and you buy all the toys and gadgets and things like that for them when they're inside. And like I said, I think there's good to that, but the post was talking about like, I'm excited for my child, for my baby to get outside and in nature and experience those things in like an organic way, to hear like the leaves rustling through the breeze, to feel the grass in their toes, to feel mud, to feel sand, to be able to touch different textures in the bark on trees and hear birds chirping in different tones and things like that. And to like get that stimulation that's just like nourishing to their minds, but from things that God has given us. And so I thought that was such a cool post and it really stuck with me. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, that's super cool. Dang, I should check that out. Because like Cal as well has recently started learning how to walk. So not even walking, he's crawling, but we have like a little walker thing and he gets up on that and he starts cruising. Whenever I see him do, I'm like, oh, I get so pumped up. And then it's like number one hype man. But then when you see him, when you walk in the door and he smiles at you too, like, oh, melts your heart. Jackson, what's up?
No, I just think like your son Cal is gonna be the most confident kid in the entire universe because you're his dad. You're just this psycho. He has a full-time psycho hype man. Like, oh yeah, like he's either gonna just excel and go so far because of his confidence, or he's gonna be crash and burn. So prideful you have a nightmare on your hands for the first
time. Yeah, he's gonna be Evel Knievel.
Yeah, he is.
I'm going to have to handle one day. He was trying to stand up and she just pushed him over. She's like, slow down. You're going too fast.
Put a governor on that kid.
There it is. Cool.
No, but that's super cool. I think there is something like understated about nature and being outside. Especially in like today's world, it's so easy just for your kid to be inside and be stimulated watching TV. Like Jackson, you were telling me about Cocomelon and how you don't let Spencer watch it because something about the scenes in it changed so much. So frequently that's like so stimulating to the kid's brain that it's not, I don't know, it's not normal, it's not healthy. I don't know if it's not healthy,
it's
but
like tapping on their dopamine release at a rate that's just not good. And then they want things at that pace and that rhythm completely and entirely opposite of the point Awesome was just making. It's completely unnatural.
Which I remember our childhood, like we spent so much time outside, and I think we were the last generation of like kids that grew up doing that before social media was a thing and video games really took off. So I definitely want that for my kids, you know, and that's a great reminder, I hope, for all of us.
All right, Austin, what are you trying to get better in? Which, if I could be honest, and Jacob, you gotta have my back because Austin's not gonna receive any of this. And Jacob, we gave you cred. Me and Ethan did episode one about your, we think you're disciplined, but Austin's a disciplined man.
Yeah, Austin, he blows me out the water.
Yeah. Now, Austin, if I'm not mistaken, you did it. Well, this is a stupid question because it'd be weird if you didn't. Did you get your master's degree?
I did. Yeah.
The University of Florida. So it's a great question. Yeah.
Big educate. Sorry, we're not so smart, Austin.
Yeah, man. I'm not doing so. So I'll call you Master Austin moving forward the rest of this episode now.
Master P.
Hey, Master Powers. Remember, like Austin Powers, like Master Powers.
So, what are you trying to get better in? Like, where are you trying to grow? I know. Was your wife's name Liz? Did I catch that correctly? You know, you might be in a nesting phase, trying to figure out all how to use all these tools you're owning. Maybe there's an area of the company that's just trash and you're like, I'm trying to revamp this thing. Maybe there's just a section of your life where, man, I got to work on this character and this integrity in me. So it's a super vague and broad question, but we stroke it like that for a reason. And that, what comes to mind for you when you're, what are you trying to get better in?
And so you're asking, like, when you say broad, you mean like not just necessarily as a dad, or do you mean broad as a dad?
Like,
well, yeah, I mean, that's what's complex for you, is you're a dad to be. So this is right. we're rookies at dad to be questions. So it could be like an area you're like, whoa, this is a glaring thing. I actually need to get worked out, or at least start thinking about this before my son or daughter gets here.
Ooh, yeah. You know what? And this might be, again, because the season of life. So I heard, and now I might be misquoting, but it might've been on the Big Daddy's podcast. But maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Someone was talking about like how obviously like male and female were different, right? And so when we get married, like we have different roles in the marriage, and almost how that carries over to this might have been Neil, man. He was dropping wisdom.
He's perfect.
How that carries over to like being parents, and how like the guy is going to be instilling, the husband, the dad is going to be instilling things in the child differently maybe than the mother would be instilling in the child. Like you're working together as a team, but you might have different roles. A lot of them are going to cross over, but a lot of them are also going to be a little bit different. And so I think like, so Liz and I have talked about like, yeah, like what traits are you really, really strong and passionate in that you want to make sure that you're instilling in our child, and what traits am I strong in and I want to instill in our child, and how we're going to like back each other up on that. There's a guy named Jefferson Bethke that I respect a lot of the things that he talks about, and family being a team. And he always talks about the family being a team. And so I really, really, really want to get good at that. And how it's not like a mom said this, but dad said this type thing, and I'm the kid, but like, no, like we are all one cohesive team. We're going to work together. And so I want to get really good at being awesome teammates with Elizabeth, and raising our child that way. I mean, it's not a great concrete answer, but I think it's something that can be, it's kind of a foreign idea maybe in like the Western culture. But like mom and dad cohesively coming together and wanting to almost have a kind of a game plan, you know?
No, that's really good. Cause actually something, when you started going into that, that's actually what I kept thinking about, was like being a team. And I know for Hannah and I, when we were expecting Callahan, something she said was like, no matter what happens when he gets older, we're a unified front. Like, even if I mentally disagree with you, I'm not going to verbalize that until it's just you and I behind closed doors, right? Because like, he has to see a unified front. Not like you said, like, it's not like mom said this and dad said this. It's a unified front, and then we can disagree about it later. But like the kid, it's you two against, not against the kid, but like the kid's not getting picked sides of mom and dad. It's you two and the child are separate. So I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Crap, I just had more to say, but I blanked. Jackson, what's up?
Oh no, yeah, charge the next one, man.
Charge the next one. Shoot. Dang, I really wish I could remember what I was gonna say. Jefferson Bethke, how many kids has he got?
Three.
Yeah, how old is he? Pretty young guy,
yeah,
right?
He's young. Yeah, he's probably early 30s, I think.
He's with it, man. Jefferson's the truth. I love that you know about him, and If you're learning from him, you're gonna be just fine.
Yeah, right, man. He's awesome, and I think he's very humble, because I know that he'll catch a lot of heat from people when he does like parenting conferences or husband conferences or fathering and things like that. And people, I know he's openly said, like, people give him a lot of heat as far as like, man, how do you know? You're like, you're what, 32, 33 years old? Yeah. All your kids are young. Like, how are you gonna tell us? He's like, no, I'm not acting like I know the answers. I'm not trying to tell you how to parent. I just know that there's a good way to approach things and a lens that we can have as Christian fathers and men in the world. And I want to round table, like brain trust it with as many dads as I can. And I think he's very humble and open about that. And so I love listening to his ideas and his approaches with his kids, because I think they're pretty cool.
Yeah. Future guests for sure. Once you started talking about, I remember what I was going to say, but there's so, like, with some of these questions for you, there's so much and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it's hard to know what to expect until you're in the fire.
No doubt.
It's like hidden snipers that are going to pop up and get you. You're not going to know until it hits you in the face hardcore. So, like, first time you change a diaper, cover the pecker, rule number one, because otherwise you're going to get peed on immediately. And, well, that's just a simple one, but I digress. Yeah,
sometimes the best ways to learn is by failing, right? Because if I knew everything, I probably wouldn't. Or if I thought I knew everything, I'd probably be an epic failure. I think it's good sometimes to be a little bit blinded, because that'll make the message stick a little bit harder.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of pivoting to the next one. Who gives you hope for the future?
Cool. Another Big Daddy's podcast drop, Anthony Rick, when he talked about how the kids and the youth gives them hope for the future. I mean, I think when I think of the future, I've got to think of the younger generation, because that is the future. And so I was kind of thinking that through my lens, and he was talking about how a lot of times we can be hesitant or timid, like, oh man, I don't want to bring a kid into this world at this time, like all this craziness, like it's going to be bad, it's going to be polluting to their minds, nothing but darkness, yada yada yada. We can go on and on with how bad the state of the world is, but he's like, man, like, it should excite you, because God chose to put them on the earth at this time, because they got something in that nobody else does. And so when he said that like rocked my world. And got so we knew that we were going to have a baby by the time I listened to that podcast. And so it fired me up to have a kid. And I was just like, he is so right. Like, the baby that we're bringing into this world the world needs whatever he or she has to offer. So that fired me up. Anyways, I digress. To take what to say. So I work with a lot of youth athletes, and that's my passion. That's why I got into strength conditioning, is because I love working with kids in the weight room, on the turf, speed and agility, all that kind of stuff. So I just love it, man. They're very much impressionable physically, in the sense of, like, man, they can look at a dumbbell and get stronger. So like, they can do a lot of things to get better, and we can just do a few sprints. We can have fun with it, but they're also really, really impressionable, like, mentally and emotionally, which obviously I know that, Jackson, you know that, being a youth pastor. And so I love to try, often fail, but I love to try and be a really, really good role model to them, and a male figure that they can look up to and say, like, you know, he's doing it right, or he's different, or things like that. And when I see kids that I train that possess traits that I know are mature beyond their years, that gives me so much hope. Like, seeing a kid that, so I remember when I was a kid, and when I say kid, I mean into my 20s, I remember dreading talking to adults. I just did not want to talk to adults. I had a weird, like, fear and uncomfortableness and anxiety about holding a conversation with an adult. And so when I am training kids that confidently come up to me and just have a conversation and are open about things that are going on and are confident in who they are, and they know who they are, and they're, and like, a lot of the tendencies we see in youth, like, they're above it. It just, like, it fires me up. And not saying that they're better than someone that sometimes succumbs to self-consciousness and anxieties and things like that, but I know that these kids possess those qualities. Like, they have God-given power inside of them that maybe they don't know they have access to yet. But when I see, like, little glimpses of them, like just breaking out of what the world says they should do and who the world says that they are. And like, oh no, you should talk bad about them. You should gossip. It's not cool to try. It's cool to talk badly about somebody. It's cool. Like all those things that the world and school and their friends and all those things are telling them to do. And I see glimpses of these kids every day, just like rise above that. And they just like, no, they're so mature. Like they just know, like, no, I'm better than that. I know that's not right. There's something in me that says that's not right. And I just see future leaders in them. And I just get so fired up. And I think that's what fills me up is seeing that, because I know that like, even when I was a kid, there was a lot of times where like, just developmentally, like things didn't stick. Like, wow, I mean, why wouldn't I gossip? They're doing it, you know? And so to see these kids grasp these things that are so wise, it blows me away, but I love it, man. That gives me hope is when I see kids that that do that. Yeah, sorry, long-winded answer, but yeah, fired up.
That's really good, and that's really encouraging because, you know, I see all demographics. I see the best kids, and I do have the privilege, I'd say, of seeing the worst kids. You know, and my youth group kids, I think are the best kids. I'm going to say that, you know, like by it, like in a biased way, but you know, we run an after school ministry. Kids in middle school come over that are not church, come from bad homes, corrupt homes, sad homes, and they're hard. We let them come over every Friday. They use our gym, use our facility, use our games. We host them. We love them. We serve them. And we, feed them. And I mean, we had an incident this past Friday where three kids jumped another kid in the bathroom at in our church, you know? And so it's encouraging to hear you say that because that happened Friday. This is Monday and I haven't been with my kids again yet. So it's like almost like I'm looking forward to seeing my kids again. And they're all my kids. I want those kids who are not my kids to be my kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
That's why we're doing it, you know, but I can feel it's interesting. There are both sides of the spectrum, Austin. You have your good student that has the boldness to come up and speak to you and just carry himself well, or you encounter these good kids. But then there is on the other side of the spectrum, it's just hard and they're tough and it can be really discouraging and make you hopeless. So, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on how to speak into that or what we ought to do. But when you think about you have a kid and if they're with you, Austin, they might have, you know, I don't know what kind of demographic you're receiving, but what do you think the answer is to a strong, like examine one of your strong students, right? How do you want to see them empowered to go out and make a difference to that kid that got jumped, you know, on Friday? Like, is there a connection there or is the gap way too wide and those people's paths are not crossing? What do you think about? I know that's a interesting, weird, broad question, but what do you think about all that?
Man, it's tough. And so I would say that I'm demographic wise, I'm blessed with a lot of kids that are your quote unquote, like good kids, like, their upbringings are very fortunate, but that's definitely not to say that all of them are that way. And you can kind of obviously, which you know better than anybody, you can kind of tell. But as far as like, man, empowering those good kids to impact the younger kids, there was kind of a thought that I was thinking recently that I think the line, it's a very fine line, especially at that age. I think there's a very fine line between a leader and between a bully. Because I think they have a lot of similarities. I think they have a lot of similarities. So we see that, like, and again, especially at that age, leaders and bullies are going to have a lot of followers, both of them. And they're both going to have a pedestal to be able to impact a lot of people. But we just see one empowers people and leads people and brings them up. And the other one puts them down and tells them, like, a leader's going to tell you who you are and he's going to call you up. Whereas a bully is going to tell you who you're not and they're going to put you down. And so I think at that age, we can really, really easily mistake the two. And just because someone has influence in my eyes, I think they're a leader. I need to be like him or I need to follow him or I need to be like that. But in reality, and in a sober mindset, that we know that that person's the bully. And if I follow them like that, that's, I can't let fear dictate my decisions and follow that person. And so something that I want to instill in those kids is, you know, like, I want them to know the difference between a bully and a leader. And we can see that in our world as adults, because I think it's the same. I want to instill in them to know the characteristics and the values that differ between a leader and a bully, and have them see value in following the path of a leader and not the path of a bully. Because I think you can go either way. And I think a lot of times we can flip flop back and forth as when we're young. And so those are kind of just thoughts I've been thinking. I don't have anything concrete, but I'm so glad I asked.
I never thought of that. Never processed it that way. And I agree fully. Yeah. But you know, it does encourage me though, man, because I do get time with these bullies. Like, that kid was a bully. He had two kids film it, him jumping another kid, and they snapped it. And it was a bizarre experience, even for me as a leader, to like watch this all go down. Learn, like, we had to trespass kids. It was crazy, right? But you know what's interesting, man, is with those bully kids, like, I knew we were gonna have trouble with this kid specifically where it happened, you know. But you know, you want to minister in, because I think you're just onto something. Of there's something inside them that Satan wants to use for evil, but God wants to use for good. So if we can even go to the bully and minister to them and love them and redeem them, it's just a leader with just misplaced zeal, you know, and coming Saul. From darkness, you know.
What'd you say, Blue? You said Saul.
I said Saul.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's true.
Right? Saul was the guy that turned into Paul. He was persecuting Christians. Is that correct?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Persecuting Christians. And yeah, he was a leader because everyone was following him and killing people.
Yeah, he had power, he had impact, and he was using it for his own benefit or for darkness. And I think that a lot of times we can see bullies do the same thing. And like you said, Jackson, it's like, man, I see characteristics in you that of a leader, but you're using it for selfish gain, or using it for bad, or to twist power to get people to listen to you. And I see that often. I mean, especially I think because I'm in like an athletic setting or with sports and teams and things like that. And I can often see like the kid that's good at sports, he can either be the bully or the leader. And it's easy. I see oftentimes like those kids are putting the kids that aren't as good down and making fun of them and things like that. But they'll like a beaten dog, they just keep running back to him, you know?
Do you feel like, as like, clearly probably a lot of these kids look up to you, do you feel like you get to be a father figure for some of them? Like, cause even like, even though some of these kids may be more well off, like you were saying coming in, I imagine some of them may not have great father figures in their life, whether their dad works too much and then maybe he's very wealthy because of X, Y, and Z, and sure, he's not present. Do you feel like you get to be that figure to some of the kids? Because I would, off the top, I would feel like yes, but I have no idea.
Honestly, I haven't felt like much of a father figure to any of the kids. I think maybe just more of like a positive older influence, and maybe I'm being prideful or trying to toot my own horn, but I hope I'm like that like cooler older brother that they want to be like, and hopefully I am showing them somebody good to be like. But I haven't really felt like a father figure. Maybe, I mean, not that I'm close in age with middle school and high school kids, but hopefully they don't view me as old yet. So I don't think father figures there. I still try and keep very much a casual friendship dialogue. But yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, no, I've heard Nicholas describe it like that at the gym, where he's like, I'm like their buddy, like their older brother they can look up to, versus, hey, I'm not gonna tell you what you can and can't do, I'm not your parents. So
right,
this checks out.
So this is a fun question we inserted, is who on your team puts you in check? Who holds you accountable? Who is that person that can tell, hey, you're copping a toot and you need to pull it together? Or, hey, you look drained, you need some rest? Or who is that person in your life that just has had a discernment about you and just knows how to come alongside you and either challenge you or encourage you or equip you? Who on your team puts you in check?
I mean, it's got to be my wife, 100%. I think she has done an incredible job at that day one. I think we're very similar in a lot of ways, and we can read each other in a lot of ways, and we can vent to each other and be transparent with each other and everything, and saying like, all right, yeah, I mean, I empathize with that because we struggle with the same things or whatever. I think she does an awesome job of, in love, maybe nudging me and saying like, hey, you're acting this way, or you shouldn't act that way, or are you this way, or things like that. Typically it's if I'll get pretty impatient and pretty short, and sometimes selfish when I'm tired, like whether it be for lack of sleep or just fatigue from work or whatever. And the thing that pops into my head is if I'm being that way, she will come up to me and as innocent as you can be and as loving as you can be, like, hey, are you tired? I'm like, what do you mean am I tired? Like, why do you, and I'll just like, I'll like jump and like snap.
Get out of
like
my face. Are you wrong. Tired? You yeah, look pretty right. tired.
Your mom's you look tired. Yeah.
You pregnant?
Bags into your eyes.
Yeah, right. And so I think I'll snap, like, and she did nothing wrong, but it's like, just because you know that doesn't mean you should say it. But it's like, she just genuinely is like, hey, are you tired? Like, should I not keep asking you questions or keep asking you for help, or should I not do these things? But no, she can definitely read me, and she'll know when to like ask if I'm tired or give me a break or things like that. If she does it in love, I just need to be better at responding and not reacting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that leads us to our next question. If you could have married anyone differently, who would you have married?
Jacob.
That's a good answer.
I asked that to Brian Saylor the other day, and he was dying laughing because that's the most dumb, dark, unhealthy question ever.
I didn't know where that was going. I was
what's the right answer?
Yeah, I mean, you,
Jesus
you
gave, is the answer.
You pass. You said Jacob.
Austin and I were married on the same day, so we technically could.
Yeah, that's what he was mentioning before he came on.
We could just swap some paperwork.
Yeah, when we had our first, Austin had his first dance, he just like ditched Liz and he said, come here, big daddy. And then we danced really intimately.
I've never called Jacob big daddy. There's a fun fact.
Yeah, he's probably right. I don't know, actually. So I bet he's right.
I wish I could say the same, but I think I only call you big daddy, not Jacob. Wolf. So
that's
so.
Right.
Buzz your girlfriend. Wolf.
Wolf. Oh, nice. Home Alone reference. Strong work. Yeah. Anyway, what kind of legacy you want to leave, Austin?
Ooh,
it's a big one. This is a loaded golly. Question. This is kind of casual. Just throw it in your face.
Legacy in my family or legacy in the world, or is that one of the same?
Legacy in the world and legacy in your family. I would say they could be two very different things, because I think your family could see you in a much different way than your colleagues may see you, just because your family may know you more intimately. But I think legacy, what do you think, Jax? I kind of feel like family, because your family's the ones that are going to remember you more once you're dead and gone.
Yeah, I'd like to know and have you process for your son or daughter. What legacy do you want to leave them? This one that's on the way.
Yeah, man. Wow. I mean, that's a big question, and I love it. And I know that my answer will evolve probably yearly. But sitting here thinking now, man, I think of a lot of the qualities my dad did. I want to embody those. And then also I look at qualities that my Heavenly Father embodies that I also want to marry with that. Man, I want my kids to see that I put my relationship with God first, obviously. This might sound extremely cliche, but I think it's cliche for a reason. I want them to see me deeply, richly, genuinely pursue a relationship with God, not just trying to uphold a religious standard, but know that man, my dad pursued to know God and to hear from him and to walk with him. I want them to see that I valued my relationship with my wife, with Liz, first on this earth. My relationship with her is first on this earth. And that I sacrificed my time, my love, and my effort towards other people. Because I think that was kind of another question that I saw you guys, like, what is this all about? What does it all mean? I think we're on this earth to love and to serve other people, and we're called to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think the only way that we do that is by walking with God and walking by the power of His Spirit. And I also think that as a husband, I'm called to bring my wife spotless and blameless before the Lord and lead her. And so, man, I want my kids to see their dad pursued God, love their mother, and sacrifice for his community. And did it eagerly, willingly, lovingly, not grudgingly. And I want them to be a part of that team. So kind of wrapping up what we talked about before, like, okay. I don't want them to be spectators and just seeing things that I did. And I also don't want them to think that I did them. I want to make sure that I don't become prideful. I want to stay humble, and them see that in their dad. And I want to instill that in them, of course, because I think if they're just spectators, then they never get to take part. And then they won't walk in that same footsteps, that same path. Not that they want them to do the exact same thing as me, but to instill that in them. Yeah,
dude. Jacob, was really the best answer we heard on that one ever.
That was he acted like he wasn't prepared, and then he just dropped.
I was not prepared, man. That was. I said a little prayer before I answered that. Ooh. You know, and sorry,
you pondered it. No, you pondered it. That was great.
Neil's
that was a nuke of knowledge.
Yeah.
Continue.
Hashtag Neil's knowledge.
Yeah. Good. Awesome. Cool.
That was super good.
Yeah. Austin, we are so excited to find out what gender baby you're having. Are you gonna let the baby choose a gender, or are you? No, I'm just kidding. Let's not go there. But
we're gonna let what's between the legs.
Are you and your wife? Are you gonna wait till the delivery room to find out what? No, you're gonna get the ultrasound.
Yeah, the 20 week is what it's called.
Mm-hmm. 20 weeks, classically.
So yeah, we find out here in 4 weeks.
Yeah, gender. Cool.
Yeah, man,
there's a blood test they do now that's I think like $100 if you want to go find out tomorrow.
Yeah, we opted out of that. We opted out of that. We kind of want to just prolong the celebration.
Yeah, I feel that.
We didn't
want to
find everything, but we also didn't want to wait till the delivery room.
Sure. I think that's a great answer too. Very cool. Very cool.
Is the 20 week is the anatomy scan, right? So you get to see like how big that kid's head is compared to yours, because you got a big head. I mean, so
yeah, man. We're
Jacob,
really hoping
you've
that
always said that about
Liz.
Austin, as you've talked about. Man, this guy's got a huge noggin. I don't know why you talk about his
big head. Why don't you talk about other characteristics? You jerk, like maybe he's a nice guy.
I don't know. He never says that stuff.
Listen, I was over a 10-pound baby, so we are really hoping.
Well,
we're really
for
praying
Liz.
For Liz's genes that the baby is normal and not like me.
Yeah,
but you and Liz are the most athletic couple I know. So this baby's probably going to be an Olympian from
I would
day
definitely
one.
Be slowing the baby down with my genes. So I'm hoping they get all of her athleticism.
This is not true, people.
So have you guys ever heard of the Real World, the Road Rules Challenge?
Yeah, not like I've never watched it, but I know the challenge, and my sister-in-law is obsessed with it.
Okay,
so I know enough.
It's outside of the provocative nature of the show, the competitions are awesome. But Jacob, I know you're a Survivor guy. Austin, do you feel like you've seen Survivor?
Hey, I grew up watching it for sure.
Okay, awesome. So, Austin, if you and Liz went on, and Jacob, you and Hannah went on, who would win?
Physical competitions,
like married people. Like married couples versus couples.
So you guys talk to I'll let Jacob answer.
I was just saying physically they would dominate us.
Okay.
But I think I'm pretty ruthless. Like I think I would like take his knees out kind of thing.
Okay. All right. What about on just the the mental, like, I feel like a psychopath and I've lost 50 pounds and I don't know if I can do this anymore.
So I'm going to field that one. So you guys said that you guys talked about Jacob being disciplined and then you tried to reverse a compliment and throw it my way. That's I'm going to have to, I don't receive that compliment. So Jacob, I had to write myself a contract so I wouldn't eat dessert 7 nights a week. Because I couldn't stop myself from just eating. So I would be like, no, let me just shove my face full of dinner so that I'm not hungry enough to have dessert. And then I would still have dessert. I would convince myself that I needed it.
Wow.
So I wrote and signed a contract that said I will only eat dessert once a week. So yeah, that unless I put it in writing, that self-control definitely is being exercised.
Yeah.
On my end, Jacob just gave up sweets for like 7 years and didn't even think about them. So I think on that front, I get one bad night's sleep. And if I don't have dessert, I'm just going to hit the button and say, I want to go back.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Good to know.
But Liz is the most competitive person I've ever met. So she probably outlasts, outwit, outsmart all three of y'all.
Yeah, Liz is the person where you're like, Austin's saying she's so sweet, but then she's probably playing soccer and just slide tackles everybody. That's what I imagine Liz doing, just murdering people.
Yeah. All right. So best question I've ever asked. I'm so glad I asked this question.
Imagine how competitive she's going to be in the birthing room. She's going to talk to her nurse and be like, okay, so what's the fastest someone's got their baby out? And then,
Like,
oh, 53 minutes. Oh, I got this in 30.
It's tough.
Tell Liz that Jackson's wife did it in 3 hours, so she's got like a landmark to go for.
Yeah, it was quick. I don't recommend it. I don't prescribe it. It sucked. Sucked for everybody.
Cool. Oh Lord,
Austin, man, I'm truly, truly encouraged and challenged, and blessed by my time with you, man. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, and I really feel like everyone who gets to listen to this is gonna just be stoked, man. Really, absolutely, really wonderful episode.
Yeah, honored to be your friend, and you're gonna be a great dad. I'm excited for you. Excited to learn more from you.
I think you're the second dude. There's the first one. Can we all bust? Oh yeah, can you show your? Yeah, there it is. Boom, there it is.
Yeah, baby.
15-13. Come on. Peace out. Yeah. Love y'all.
Wait. Can I? I would be. We got 3 minutes. Am I allowed to do a little quick shout out?
Oh, absolutely. Shout it out, dude.
Sweet. So I would be remiss on the Big Daddy podcast not to just throw some compliments towards my dad. I know we talked about him a little bit, but I just kind of want to brag on him a little bit. So, man, I think when I talked about like legacy and things that I kind of want to leave behind for my kids, like I said, I thought about a lot of things that my dad did. And my dad, although he didn't formally sit me down and say, hey, you're going to learn this today, or we're going to do this today, I think he did an incredible job. Maybe it was intentional, maybe it wasn't, but I think he did an absolutely incredible job of showing me by the way that he lived his life. So he lived and he led by example. And I know from watching that he worked his absolute tail off. He started with FPL at age 18, so right out of high school, and he worked with them until he retired. He was with the same company for over 40 years. And I know that the amount of time that he dedicated to work and the effort that he put in and the quality that he put in was second to none. And that goes just to show from his track record of how he just progressed through the company. And while he was doing that, I never once thought he was absent, or I never once missed him, or I never thought that he was overworking, because he was intentional enough to take the overtime while we were asleep. He was intentional enough to take the overtime before we woke up and to make sure that we were provided for, but he also made sure that he was present. And he would come home in the Florida heat in the dead of summer. He worked all day in pants, boots, long sleeve shirt, hard hat, climbing poles. And then he would come home and I would be probably sitting in the AC for hours and say, all right, Dad, can we go to the baseball field now? And he would, with a smile on his face, say, absolutely. And he would change and we would go to the baseball field. And he would encourage me. And Elizabeth and I talk all the time how our parents sacrifice their weekends and their summers and their money to take us on these things and to tournaments and the games, and how we were often so ungrateful. And they would still, with a smile on their face, take us to the next game and encourage us. But they're sleeping in a hotel and I'm throwing pillows at my dad to stop snoring. And he wakes up the next day and tells me that he's proud of me. And I struck out twice and I don't even want to talk to him. And so I'm just incredibly grateful for the things that my dad had showed me just by the way that he lived and the way that he acted. He showed me how to love people. He showed me how to serve people and how to give and how to treat other people. And so I'm running out of time, but man, I'm just forever grateful for those things that he showed me. And I just want to be the father that he was to me. And so, yeah, that's, I just want to give a quick shout out. His name is Alex Pereira, Alexander Alejandro. We're not really sure exactly what his real name is.
Alejandro, dude, shout out, dad of the year. I want to,
I love that guy.
Will he adopt me and Jacob?
I'm already adopted.
Easy. Big Spanish family. Let's do it.
All right. Can't wait to meet him. Thank you.